Hello and welcome to Zero Hour. This is Tim Bowery. Today's show is an ongoing series that explores Richmond's thriving art scene and the people that make it happen. Every Friday at 12:30, we sit down at a Richmond cafe and have lunch with one of these folks. Conversation is live and spontaneous, so pull up a chair and meet some fascinating people. Today, we are talking with Ashley Kistler. Welcome, Ashley, to Zero Hour, and thanks for joining us.
Nice to see you, Tim.
I'll tell you what. Can you just give a little bit of background of how you ended up being a curator? I'm sure you weren't, you know, like most things in life, you know, at 10 years old, you weren't saying, when I grow up, I want to be a curator. Or maybe you were. I don't know. Were you?
No, I'm sure I had no idea what that word meant.
Right.
But
do you have any idea now?
Well, God, that's a tough question, man. You start out with the hard ones. I guess I have my own idea of it, but I came to Richmond in the early 1980s to go to graduate school at VCU in the art history department.
Uh-huh.
And in the couple of years that I was in school there, I did work part-time at the Virginia Museum, and actually my first job there was in the gift shop.
And they got really great.
The summer of 1981.
You're way too young for that. someday maybe you
actually,
can go back.
Huh?
Maybe someday you can go back.
Yeah, I'll keep my fingers crossed.
Yeah, really.
But actually, it was really fun. And at the time, Julie Boyd, who was a longtime presence at the museum and in the larger art scene in Richmond, was running the Institute of Contemporary Art, which was then a part of the Virginia Museum and has since become the Department of Modern and Contemporary Art. But Julie was the one who then was doing the great contemporary shows in Richmond.
Yeah, I mean, that really was, that was a, I mean, that that had its own space. It was down, sort of downstairs, as I recall.
Well, it was actually downstairs, tucked in a back corner,
right,
across from what was then Theater Virginia.
Uh-huh.
And it was just this really vital program that brought all these interesting artists from all over to Richmond.
Right.
And it was like the, you know,
Wegman was there one time.
Wegman.
Yes.
Vito Acconci. I mean, all these artists.
I was in there with a couple of older women sitting there, and he was doing My Girl Is Red Hot, Your Girl Ain't Diddly Squat, and he was dancing around the room, pulling on the front of his T-shirt. And I thought these poor old ladies were going to pass out. I thought, well, the Virginia Museum is certainly coming alive here. So,
well, there were many, many interesting projects that took place in that space, and Julie uh-huh. was responsible for that programming. And I, and also the Art Sales Gallery, which was located upstairs above the galleries for the ICA, which at that point handled the work of Virginia artists.
Mm-hmm.
it was a gallery where anyone could come in and purchase work.
Hmm.
And I ended up working there part-time on the weekends when I was in graduate school.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of got, for me, the ball going. And, you know, Julie, with what she was doing then, was a great inspiration.
What excited you? I mean, what excites you about putting a body of work together and making a show? Talk about that process.
Well,
I mean, because that's my understanding of what a curator does. So.
Well, I think for me, and it's an interesting question, I'm supposed to participate in a panel later this week at the Virginia Museum that deals with contemporary exhibitions,
mm-hmm.
and sort of what the focus is was left up to me and my fellow panelists. You know, we weren't given a lot of direction. And when I started thinking about what has most excited me about working with contemporary exhibitions and doing curatorial work, it is working directly with artists.
Mm.
And working directly with artists on projects where they may come in for a period of time to work on site and to do a new body of work mm-hmm. that reflects either aspects or issues in the community at large, or may deal with formal issues as they relate to working in a specific space.
So talking to them about their work. Talking
well,
to them
I mean,
about what
whole,
they're doing.
It can be a,
I mean, yeah.
A whole involved process of having someone come to Richmond for the first time
mm-hmm.
and sort of investigating the city and determining what might interest he or she, and perhaps making a series of visits over a year or 2 years.
Really?
And then finally sort of working intently on site for a period of time.
So they make, do you think are some of these people making art that's sort of art specific to the town, to the space, to the all of the above?
Well, yes. I mean, it can go in one direction or the other, depending on the particular artist's interests.
So you're not talking about just picking up the phone and saying to someone, I would like to show the work that you have done in the past. You're sitting down with someone and saying, I would like to put this show together. I would like to talk to you about what it is you feel like you would like to do here. And then there's a whole process that evolves out of that.
Right. And it's an opportunity for an artist to make new work.
Interesting. Okay.
And I think it's important to provide those sorts of opportunities. I mean, oftentimes they're really few and far between.
Right.
So, I mean, that's just one element. You know, if you talk about assembling an overall exhibition schedule, for me, that's one element, a really important element in a sort of wider approach that will take into account other sorts of projects.
Talk about one that's really sort of you've really enjoyed. Is there one recently that you've...
As far as an artist project?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think the most ambitious project, and this is, I mean, sort of going back to your earlier question about how I got involved, that part-time work at the Virginia Museum led to working there full-time for 15 years.
Wow.
And then moving to the Visual Arts Center of Richmond, which was formerly the Hand Workshop Arts Center, in 1999, and being there for 9 years, running the exhibition program before I moved this summer to the Anderson Gallery at VCU.
Right.
And part of what I just described, the Artist Project series, was part of the exhibition program at the Visual Arts Center. So a lot of what comes to mind in answering your question or questions are things that have happened over the last 10 years or so, and much of that activity has taken place on Main Street. So what was your question?
Well, just anything, you know, if there was someone event that, you know, is...
Well, as far as the Artist Projects, the most ambitious project that we tackled in that period of time, I guess this was in 2004 or 2005, was the project with Wendy Ewald.
Oh, okay.
Who is a photographer based in Rhinebeck, New York, north of New York City, an artist who has worked in communities all over the world. In fact, she is back in Africa, Africa and South Africa, working on another project, and also in Ireland. So she is an amazing individual and an amazing artist who has worked with, you know, many different communities of people. And she came to Richmond, and over the course of 2 years, through a series of site visits, decided that she wanted to do a project that dealt with the Carver neighborhood, which, of course, is located...
Which is primarily African-American neighborhood.
Historically African-American neighborhood with a very interesting and rich history. It's located north of Broad Street. It borders VCU and, in fact, has sort of in recent years become pretty much a sort of VCU-dominated community in a lot of ways.
Yeah, the Siegel Center's over there. You know, a lot of that's dominated that area.
But Wendy decided, and when she was here, that neighborhood was very much in transition, as it still is to a certain extent. And she employed a process of working that she's used in other communities, and that is working with neighborhood children.
Right.
In this instance, elementary school children who attend Carver, who attended Carver Elementary School, and there were kids who lived in the immediate neighborhood and walked to and from school. And over a period of, I don't know how many visits now, but over a period of 5 to 6 months, she would work with this group of 12 kids, and together they developed these images.
So these were photographic images.
They were photographic images.
And is she just a photographer? Because that's all I know her as.
Well, photographer and installation artist,
I would
say.
Oh, really? Okay.
And she shot portraits of the children in this makeshift outdoor studio beside the dumpster.
Really?
Sort of behind the school.
Why?
Well, I mean, that just became a convenient spot to
really
use.
Because, I mean, the portraits are, you know, these beautiful, wonderful huge black and whites that I'm sure a lot of people listening have seen. And I never would have guessed that the studio would have been so.
Well, that's where it all started. Yeah. And, of course, the process of developing these images with text was something that continued over the course of several months with the kids working on the images as far as applying their own text that had to do with their perceptions of themselves and their families and their community. Right. And eventually, as you just indicated, they took the form of these monumental banners mm-hmm. that measured 10 feet high by 8 feet wide, installed as triptychs or diptychs, in other words, two and three two, together, in different outdoor sites around the neighborhood.
And what were you doing during all this time? I mean, as a curator, what was there?
Well, you know, really scurrying around trying to tend to all the logistics, mm-hmm. whether it had to do with getting permission to use a particular site,
right,
which meant dealing with a whole slew of people to making sure that we weren't infringing on any sort of city regulations, mm-hmm. to arranging for gallery installations both at the Visual Arts Center mm-hmm. and at the Children's Museum of Richmond, which was also a participant in the project.
Were those installations the same size?
No, they were gallery installations.
So they were smaller photographs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That dealt with different bodies of work that mm-hmm. sort of gave more of an overview mm-hmm. of Wendy's career up to that mm-hmm. point. And the banners in Carver stayed up for a year and a half. Of course, the exhibitions in the galleries were a much shorter duration. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was a real opportunity for Wendy at that point to sort of move to a new place with her work. And it was the first time she had really entered into the public realm and used a public space.
Really? And so this grew out of conversations that you and she had, I would assume.
Yeah, and as well and sort of, as other people in the uh-huh. community who are really important in sort of speaking with her, consulting with her, and those conversations.
So these were people who lived in the community?
Barbara Abernathy.
Oh, yes, okay.
Mm-hmm. Who was then head of the Carver Neighborhood Association mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and part of the VCU Carver Partnership. And Barbara was really instrumental in making that project happen. Another important person was Laura Browder,
right,
who's a professor in the English department at VCU and had previously done another project in the neighborhood that depended on the cooperation of residents.
Okay, how was she instrumental? In that she knew people or more to do with the text?
Well, she instrumental in introducing Wendy to the neighborhood mm-hmm. and to certain individuals okay. in the neighborhood. Okay. So, anyway, it was, you know.
So what do you think the sort of the, if maybe there isn't a, but what do you think the outcome was? I mean, there were these incredible sort of stunning black and white images that were huge banners that were on the sides of buildings. I assume the buildings weren't picked randomly. They were probably picked strategically.
Very much so.
Yeah, okay.
And the students who participated in the project had a say in which buildings, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So what came out of this, do you think? I mean,
well, I think it was an amazing project in all ways. Mm. I mean, both as far as the artistic quality, in terms of the collaboration and partnerships that mm-hmm. it involved, in terms of pushing Wendy's work to the next level, which I was alluding to just a moment ago, in terms of, a public art project that relied on the cooperation of an entire neighborhood, which I think is probably the first time something like that had been attempted here.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty extraordinary when you think about it. It's hard enough just to get people to work together on, you know, voting or something. You know, but you walk into the Carver neighborhood and say, you know, we want to work with these kids. Did people understand what you were about? Did they?
Absolutely. One of the most amazing things about the project is the ownership uh-huh. that the neighborhood took mm. of the completed installation mm-hmm. once it was up. And, of course, one of the concerns was.
So there was a lot of pride. There was a lot of.
A lot of pride. And, of course, the kids were stars. I mean, they were the art stars.
Yeah.
And on opening day, of course, they gave tours of the installation. Mm-hmm. And
have you stayed in touch with them?
Not recently.
Not recently? No.
Not recently.
Yeah.
But
because when I met Wendy, I just met her for a few minutes, I guess, at your house, I think. Mm-hmm. Maybe right after that, at some point. And I only talked to her briefly, but, you know, she doesn't strike you as someone, you know, she's very understated.
Oh,
at least I thought
she
was very
yeah.
sort of quiet. And mm-hmm. And then, you know, she started talking about her work and what she did. And it was just, you know, it's really incredible. And then I guess my stepdaughter, Leah, was involved in this and somehow.
Oh, that's right. Of course, Leah was part of the VCU Carver partnership then,
right.
working with Barbara. And Leah was, mm-hmm. it was the first time I had met Leah.
Right.
And it was such a wonderful experience to get to know her mm-hmm. over the course of that mm-hmm. project. Mm-hmm. And she was fantastic.
Yeah. Amazing. All right. So I think that's a really fascinating kind of curatorial out in the community, neighborhood-based kind of thing. But you were talking, we were talking before the show, and you were talking about an African show that you're putting together, that I assume is very, very...
Not that I'm putting it together. It's a show that is coming to the Anderson Gallery in January, but it's a show that was organized by the High Museum in Atlanta and mm-hmm. the Newark Museum in Newark, New Jersey. And it's... you know, a top-notch museum-quality exhibition of Yoruba art.
Of what?
Yoruba art.
What is Yoruba art?
Yoruba are a culture in Nigeria uh-huh. that has produced all these amazing works of art.
So, sculpture?
Well, it's primarily sculpture. The exhibition has to do with the connection between specific artworks in the spiritual world, and of course, and with African cultures, including this mm-hmm. particular culture, there was always a direct connection. You know, the idea of art for art's sake was, you know, would have been a totally foreign concept.
Right. That's interesting.
Works had very practical, pragmatic functions within society. But these are traditional works of art.
Uh-huh.
The main consultant on the exhibition was Babatunde Lawal. And Dr. Lawal has long been an art historian teaching at VCU and is, you know, one of the foremost authorities on this particular mm-hmm. culture.
So the opportunity for you is to learn all about this. I mean, I'm assuming. Did you come to this with a background, or was this all of a sudden?
This is really
exciting and interesting.
Exhibition was already on the schedule, so I
right.
had nothing to do with programming.
No, I know, but I mean, I'm assuming at some point you got very interested.
Yeah, I've always been a fan of African art, and uh-huh. as a matter of fact, my thesis project at VCU was on a local African collection, which led to an exhibition at the Anderson Gallery that was supplemented with loans from the Virginia Museum's African collection.
Right.
When I was at the Virginia Museum, Richard Woodward, who's curator of African art at the museum and has built this amazing collection, he and I collaborated on a couple of things uh-huh. that dealt with the connection between traditional African artworks and what contemporary artists are up to.
Right.
So it's... It's
well, I mean, is it true that Picasso was really influenced by African art?
Absolutely.
Really? By looking at the... I mean, when you see the masks and the distorted...
Major influence.
Really?
So, in conjunction with the exhibition, there will be a major symposium on February 6th.
Okay.
Sponsored by the Art History Department, the Anderson Gallery, the Virginia Museum, and the Friends of African and African American Art at the museum, which will bring to town... these amazing scholars.
Where is this going to be?
It's going to be at the Gray Street Theater.
And this is something that you're pulling together?
Well, together with James Farmer from the Art History Department and
right.
Dr. Lawal. And it will bring together, you know, the most amazing scholars in the field, including
yeah.
Robert Ferris Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've never heard him speak,
really,
it's an opportunity not to be missed.
Okay, so... when is the show?
The show opens January 16th. It will continue.
And this is
March
at the Anderson
1st,
Gallery?
At the Anderson Gallery. And then
okay.
the symposium is taking place February 6th at Gray Street Theater, and it is free and open to the public.
Wow. Okay. And is it just that one evening?
It's a day-long program.
Oh, okay.
February 6th is a Friday, so okay. We'll start at 9 and continue until 5 o'clock.
Oh, that's fabulous. Well, it sounds like that being a curator is and I'm sure a lot of you out there already know this, but has a lot more to do with than just sitting down with someone and saying, let's put a show together with two or three artists and hang the work on a wall and be done with it. It sounds like the things, especially that you've been involved with, have really transcended that and have reached out into the neighborhood and have reached out into the culture and have reached out into the history and now into the intellectual areas and scholarly areas that are studying African art. I mean, it really sounds incredibly rich, an incredibly rich kind of thing to be doing.
Well, hopefully so. I mean, yeah. It certainly has been for me personally.
Yeah, that's fabulous. What about Elizabeth King? When you were at the Visual Arts Center, right. You put helped pull together a show of her work. What was that like? What was that? I don't know how many people are familiar with Elizabeth's work, but maybe you can describe it a little bit.
Well, Elizabeth has been a mainstay of the sculpture department at VCU for many years now. Mm. Has been based in Richmond for a long, long time. She is an amazing artist. And several years ago, we began talking about doing a retrospective. Maybe survey is a better word to use.
survey.
A survey of her work that would include her sculptures, her installations, which often involve sculpture along with video.
Yeah.
Her photographs, her projected videos, a whole slew of different things, including objects from her studio that have been both made and found and that have served mm-hmm, over mm-hmm. many years as sources of inspiration. And that this exhibition would not only be seen here in Richmond, but then would travel.
Okay.
So it was the inaugural show at the Visual Arts Center's new space, which mm-hmm. opened last December. So, gosh, nearly a year ago, which is hard to believe.
Yeah.
That's what happened. The show is now traveling. It was seen, a smaller version of the show was seen at Dartmouth College.
And again, your role in this, I mean, you've known Elizabeth for a long time, I would assume.
I have.
Okay. So your role in this was...
I mean, everything that goes into putting something like that together. Of course, mm-hmm. saying that, I mean, Elizabeth's role in this was monumental. But, you know, there are loans that came from probably 20 different sources all over the country. Mm-hmm. So it's a matter of getting permission to show those works and then figuring out how to get them here.
Right.
I mean, everything that you can imagine, there was a beautiful book done that accompanied the exhibition that John Malinowski designed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who also, I guess, works at VCU, right?
Right.
Yes,
and
is in the design
department.
Been a
long-time professor in the graphic design department mm-hmm.
right.
at VCU.
Mm-hmm.
It's such an endless list of detail-oriented tasks.
Yes.
From the most mundane stuff.
But what's interesting is the it would almost seem to be conflicting. On the one hand, this fascination with the arts, and on the other hand, this incredible ability to be highly organized and detail oriented and administrative. Is that too strong a word?
Oh no, not
yeah.
at all. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, it's a really nice combination to see someone.
Well, it's certainly been a combination of things that has really satisfied.
Yeah, I mean, on the one side, yeah, it really stimulates you in terms of the arts and keeps you involved in the arts and keeps you involved in art history, which is something obviously you love. And then you obviously have these other skill sets that it's just rare to see both in the same
in the same.
Well, it, you know, all the administrative stuff is, a lot of it is such immediate gratification. And you feel, you know, with all of that detail-oriented tasks that you're making progress, you know, and, you know, it sort of things proceed incrementally. And eventually you can see things taking shape. And, you know, you finally open an exhibition. And, you know, with Elizabeth's show, I mean, it was such an amazing installation, an amazing experience walking into that space and encountering that work as a body of work. And she had so much to do with the installation, the configuration of pieces in the space, and lighting the pieces and posing the pieces. I mean, all of that was part of it.
Well,
it was absolutely fascinating.
Yeah. One of the really exciting things, I think, is that the Anderson Gallery has had the good fortune of landing you. What are you planning? Do you have anything in the future that you're thinking about doing? I mean, it sounds like you're already sort of in the, what have you been there, 3 months?
A little over 3 months.
Yeah. It sounds like you're rolling along pretty well. So.
Well, I've sort of just begun to look ahead, and the schedule there is planned through next spring. And, of course, spring always brings at the Anderson Gallery the series of student shows, beginning with the juried student show and then ending up with the MFA exhibitions, which are always fantastic.
Right.
And it'll be interesting to sort of be involved intimately with that process.
Right.
But I'm sort of looking ahead to next summer, which is in progress, and hopefully will feature the work of the British photographer Martin Parr, who deals with issues of tourism and globalism with humor and wit and irony and just these amazing sort of over-the-top, zany, color-saturated images.
Right.
And then in the fall, this is fall of 2009, something that's been on the schedule now for some time, is the Richard Carline retrospective. And it will involve not only the Anderson Gallery, which is now the sort of coordinating institution, but also spaces at the Visual Arts Center, 1708 Gallery, and Solvent Space.
Wow.
In a multi-site exhibition. This has been in progress now for the last year and a half, as we've cataloged Richard's entire body of work, which is, you know, again, just amazing. So that will really
video,
be something.
Paintings, drawings.
I mean, it's 2,000
really?
Works, drawings, paintings, videos, collages, constructions.
Right, right.
The whole gamut.
Wow.
So that will really be something to look forward to.
Well, unfortunately, we are out of time. We could do this for 3 hours, I'm sure, because there's so much richness to what you're doing and so much of what you're bringing to this city. I just hope people appreciate that without you, you know, a lot of these things might not have happened. We've been talking to Ashley Kistler, who is now working at the Anderson Gallery, who's the director now of the Anderson Gallery, which is connected with VCU. And I want to thank you for talking with us today. And I want to thank you folks for listening. We hope to see you on the radio again next Friday at 12:30. This is Tim Bowring, and you're listening to WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond's Indie Radio. It's radio for the rest of us.